pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Brought to you by Mallory Piping. As always, well, we were going to have Barry Moore on the program, but we had to scratch him a late last-minute change to the schedule, but you get me for the next hour and a half. Nothing but Jeff Poor to fill your heart this on this sunny Thursday morning. Beyond that, we'll have April Marie Fogle, my colleague at 1819 News, and Paul DeMarco, who is a columnist at for the Trustful Tribune and a few other newspapers around the state. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll start out with the news here, and we'll get to some state stuff in a moment. But obviously the big news is the, hey, it's a great time to buy. And Trump's pause on the tariffs. Still the Dow down this morning, but it's clear, or at least it appears to be clear now. Our friends in the media will tell us otherwise, but that this is a aimed at the communist Chinese, or as the late Rush Limbaugh say, the Chi-Coms. Does this work? Do we think this policy will work? And I was thinking about this long term. Can someone keep this together, or are they just going to wait out till the next president or the midterms? I think it's a real, I appreciate the attention of the policy. I think it's the right thing to do, or he's doing it for the right reasons. Let me say that. But will the Chinese fold as fast as everyone says they will? So I don't know. Also, inflation's down, but like I said, the media really played up the equities markets. Dow down 940 some odd points right now. They rallied yesterday, obviously, and now I think there's some profit taking, as they call it, and things will settle down once we kind of know really what the policy is. And you know, this sort of approach about like flash, like, well, what's Trump going to do? You never know. He's a wild man. It does impact the markets. But most of you don't play it that way. I mean, you invest for the long term. You're not day trading. So the value of whatever your investment holdings are, I mean, it's the same. It's just the market's trying to figure out what that is. It's not that the value is going down monetarily, but they're still making whatever products that they make or service that they perform or whatever that may be. So watching that, also keeping an eye on what Congress is doing. Talking about this budget, and we'll find out here shortly if the House will go along with this reconciliation vote. That's coming up here shortly. What I'm told, they'll do a vote a little bit later here in the next half hour or so. But Thune and Johnson did a press conference together. Johnson seems to think he has the votes. There's some budget hawks that aren't really crazy about it, but we'll see where that goes. And on the state front, well, one more thing. Space Command yesterday, Mike Rogers, which I thought was kind of a strange way for him to make the announcement during a podcast. But Space Command will be locating in Huntsville as expected. Since Trump won the presidency. Not Colorado. And I think they're going to put that in statute. So it'll be a requirement. So definitely time for hometown team to get excited. So kind of recovering from yesterday. If you were listening, and it was kind of embarrassing, but they put me in Chris Pringle's old office. And there must be some kind of, like, Statehouse is really in bad shape. Some kind of moldy asbestos or something in there. Because guys, I'm telling you the truth here. The little coughing fit I had on air yesterday. Once I cleared out of there, once I packed up my stuff, left that room, like everything cleared up. That building's a death trap. I'm telling you, when they tear it down, they're going to find all kinds of crazy things. So there's that. Yesterday, I was sitting up at the, press gallery in the house. And Aaliyah sent out a press release. Somebody sent, like, pornographic images to three lawmakers, the sponsors of a bill that would require age verification of, like, pornography websites. The deranged left knows no bounds, but friend David Faulkner, Susan Dubose, and Ben Robbins, all of have been on the show in the last 3 or 4 months. Susan Dubose appears here regularly. Representative Faulkner, he's the guy y'all are mad at for doing the shark detection, which seems to have be on its way into law, by the way. And Ben Robbins, who I got to know, he's from Silicaga. When they were trying to, the Biden administration apparently was trying to relocate Haitian immigrants to Silicaga, to Talladega County, very outspoken about it. But they were targeted in those guys on in the Statehouse get all kinds of weird mail all the time. This one really triggered it, and they had a person of interest in custody or something of that matter. I don't know if that's harassing communication. Or what you would call it, but the law enforcement's looking into that one. A lot of the drama in the house has kind of settled down. One thing I would say, the education budget got out of the Senate yesterday. $10 billion budget, guys, as I had predicted. Unfortunately, there's still a little bit of money in there, the Magic City Acceptance Academy. We'll talk to April Marie Fogle about that later in the program. It's sort of like the LGBTQ school for the state. But what you find when you take a closer look at it, it violates all of these divisive concepts laws, or the divisive concept law. I should say there's only one. But there's a lot of curriculum in there that is in violation of that. And it's just kind of interesting because we celebrated when the law, when it was passed, my friend State Representative Ed Oliver, I know a lot of you veterans aren't thrilled with him, but one thing he really did, like, he was very persistent in insisting on the state get some kind of law in place that wouldn't teach these, like, politically charged messages in the classroom. I mean, it's indoctrination. And, well, okay, so what if a government entity is found to be in violation of the state law? Well, what is the penalty? Any state agencies and these governments around the state that take money from the state of Alabama, which is everybody's tax dollars, well, the implication is that you would have your state funding taken away, and it just doesn't appear to be the case at all. So here's my suspicion, and I haven't really had a chance to talk to many people about it. Just kind of got to look at the budgets yesterday late. There's a real fear that there's some Democrats who will filibuster. Two in particular. I was up at the State House till about 7 o'clock last night, and I left before the filibuster was over. But that's what they do. They got to change the rules. Every bill, every amendment, every resolution, every political appointment, confirmation that the Senate does, there's two Democrats, and we talk about them all the time, Roger Smitherman and Bobby Singleton, who get an hour of, like, filibuster time. So the Senate typically could do this. You know, they could generally just, and this is the way it functions normally, is they get, like, an hour speaking time, and you start putting that together for every single amendment. Every bill with an amendment attached to it could take up to, like, 6 hours to pass. And I get it, like, hey, the more this Alabama legislature's not passing, the better, right? The more inaction, the better, the safer our wallets are. However, you have two Democrats kind of running the show, and they keep a lot of, like, good legislation from passing. Things that will tidy up corruption in some of the, like, corporatism that goes on in this state. They're for some reason. It's the most peculiar thing. It's just two Democrats. The rest of the caucus just kind of sits there and watches. But they get up to the podium like, I'd like to take my first hour. And they will, and I admire these guys because for their stamina. They will talk and talk and talk and talk. But it was like last night, 7 p.m., and these guys were still going. And then eventually what happens is the pro tem comes and says, look, we'll table this bill and we'll pick it up later. And they get their way every single time. So eventually something's got to change, but that's some inside baseball for you. It's just, it's not really a true representation of democracy or the will of the public, in my opinion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Mallory Piping text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. As I said earlier, we had to scratch Barry Moore from the lineup, so more Jeff Poore coming up for the next hour or so. But beyond that, April Murray Fogle, 1819 News, and Paul DeMarco in the 11 o'clock hour. A few texts to get to here. Joe! Even if the Chinese don't fold, imagine how much money America is making right now off the 125%. Yeah, but like I'm here's my problem with that. It's the same thing with the gambling. Like I just does the government need more money? Especially the federal government, it doesn't really they don't really adhere to budgets anyway, right? I mean, I like the idea of no income taxes or whatever, but tariffs for the sake of generating revenue for the federal government, not my favorite. And here's why. Y'all are a lot of you never Trump types are complaining about these tariffs. What if we like somehow this becomes just a normal sort of policy thing, and you get Democrats in office who would abuse it? It's not the idea of free trade. We don't have free trade in the world. It's aspiring for fair trade is I think a very valid thing, valid concern or valid effort. But if you're a Democrat, you're looking at it, you're like, yeah, this is a backdoor way to tax. So, Joe, I don't know. It's hard for me to get excited about that. Tim, Jeff, have you ever been to the Masters? I've been once. It's something special, even if you don't like golf. I'd like to go someday. It's not high up on the list. This year, I get to go to the Super Bowl and a Final Four. I didn't stay for the entirety of the Final Four for obvious reasons. I still haven't been to World Series. I didn't really no desire to go to NBA Finals. What are the other big events? Hockey? Not really. I tried to get into, honestly, you know, when I lived in Washington, D.C., I tried to be a Caps fan, but they would... It was just they would be the best team all season and choke in the first round like year after year. It just got to be so tedious. But I don't know, maybe someday. Ella, you sound much better today. Well, thank you. Still a little raspy. Like, guys, there is something in that building. I don't know what it is. And if they ever put me in that office again, I mean, my days of like Wednesdays at the State House might come to a screeching halt. It's like, and I thought, well, man, these allergies are really, really bugging me. And then like packed up, got out of that room and like everything sort of cleared up. It was like a closet. I don't know if it was near like like their AC unit or something, but it was nasty in there. Michael, I think the GOP, for the most part, wants Singleton to filibuster because they want to pass the types of legislation that we want, or they don't want to pass the types of legislation we want. Well, I have a theory here. I was talking to a former lawmaker about this last night. The two guys you see a lot, who have a lot of sway over what the Alabama State Senate does. And I'll get into this in the next segment a little bit. The Rules Committee Chairman, who has been there forever, Jabba Wagner, State Senator Jabba Wagner, and State Senator Roger Smitherman, who's usually the main culprit of the filibuster. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.
Mason-Dixon line fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FN Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. April Maury Fogel in about an hour, so stick around for that. But back to your text, Mike, about the Singleton and Smitherman filibusters. It's not so much Bobby Singleton. He is the he abuses it with the ad hominem. I always feel like the privilege or right or whatever you want to call it that the Senate has to slow things down, Democrats in the Senate. By the way, the House is now voting on the budget, as we were discussing earlier in the program. But back to that. So you got two Birmingham state senators, Roger Smitherman and Jabbo Wagner, Republican and Democrat. Well, Democrat and Republican, respectively. And the Rules Committee chairman, and this is the way it works. I mean, you got committee chairmen, and they all have their own, you know, power. Well, Wagner's power is that he sets the calendar for the day. And like, I've been noticing this, and I ask about it, and everybody just kind of rolls their eyes when I ask. You know that the Democrats are going to filibuster you that day. Why do you put the bills with all the amendments at the front of the calendar? Think about it. If you have, say, a bill that's got two amendments, and you know the Democrats are going to filibuster, and they get an hour for the bill, the BIR, the amendments, all of it, and they can run out the clock and go as long as they want before the vote, then why wouldn't you be more strategic with the calendar? Put the bills, you know, that they can only spend an hour on, no amendments. And maybe you still got to deal with the BIR. Be more strategic about it. And the way it was explained to me is like, look, Jeff, where are those two members from? Roger Smitherman and Jabbo Wagner, they've been in the state Senate forever. And they sort of play this game that the Birmingham elite. So here we are, Mobile. And I don't know if this theory is true, but it kind of makes sense. There's no way that this is like not by design. But when I say Birmingham elite, I mean all of the like big mule corporate boardroom types. You have two guys, a Republican and a Democrat. It's as if they're in cahoots. And the rules chairman says, okay, we'll put the hard to pass bills up first. And then the Democrats take that ball and they just run out the clock every day. Okay, we don't want to change the way we do occupational licensing in the state. But we understand it's a very popular issue with a lot of people. And we'll put it on the calendar and say, well, we tried, but we couldn't get to it because those wacky Democrats. And my frustration with the Republicans who have a super majority is always like, we'll change the rules and don't give them the opportunity to run out the clock every single year. But then you start watching this day, day after day after day, legislative day after day. And when there's something on the calendar that's a priority for one of the, I guess, more conservative members, they put it at the bottom of the calendar, and they put like the bill about, there's like a, the last one I can really remember, the adult changing stations required in bathrooms in public buildings. And it had like two amendments on it. And that gave the two Democrats an opportunity to filibuster. 2 hours for each amendment, 2 hours for the BIR, and then when they finally get to the bill, they get 2 hours then, and they stall. Well, you add all that up, it's like 8-9 hours and the stuff down the calendar, well, we had to come back and do it later. And then the dirty little secret is they never come back and do it. And I watched that same bill yesterday make it through the House, the adult changing station, pass in like 5 minutes. House, the way the House works is a little different. Democrats will ask for speaking time and they get 10 minutes, not an hour, but not every Democrat gets up there and talks. And it's at the speaker or the chair's discretion, who's sitting in the speaker's seat, on which Democrats he's going to call on. And he sometimes he doesn't call on any. He just, all right, we're going to go to a vote. Clerk lock the machines or whatever, you know. But in the Senate, like I said, they have privileges, but you look at the calendar and you think, well, what they just put one bill that's a priority up there at the very beginning, and it would only take, in theory, 4 hours to filibuster to get passed, or the Democrats didn't like it, but they don't. And like, well, what's the Rules Committee chairman thinking? So I like been asking this question, like, why aren't they a little more strategic with this? They're like, Jeff, don't you know? Who's the Rules Chairman? Jabba Wagner, who's doing the filibustering. Roger Smitherman, where are they from? Birmingham. And then, well, who are their constituency? And the two of them work together on a lot of these, like, now look, Wagner is like an over-the-mountain suburbs guy, parts of Mount Brook, all of Vestavia, Hoover, and some of Shelby County. And the Smitherman's the Birmingham guy. See, this sort of bizarre, unspoken agreement, I think. And it's way in the weeds, but I guess the point of it is you have this sort of Birmingham ruling class with two very well-respected, longtime state senators who kind of are cooperating with one another to keep the rest of the state's legislation from getting passed. Fascinating if that is true. Also, at the state Senate, Elliott's still taking some fire. Look, it got real chippy between the Baldwin County School Board and Senator Elliott. News reports, statements put out. So in a committee hearing on Tuesday, Chairman Elliott of the County Municipal Government Committee got that a statewide bill that would mandate that if you collect a tax in a municipality that's earmarked for education, public education, it has to stay in that municipality school system. That being, they couldn't get it done with local legislation, so he's having to go about it statewide. And he's not the sponsor. It's April Weaver. Well, it got Senator Albritton, Greg Albritton out of sorts, obviously. And like, guys, I know a deal's a deal, and what I'm trying to understand here is where public opinion is, because it seems like a no-brainer to me that if Gulf Shores and Orange Beach is there, well within their right to do, to go form their own school system, it happens all the time in Alabama. If there's a tax being collected and it's not going to their schools, is that right? And what they will say is, well, a deal's a deal, but apparently there's more to the deal than one side's letting on, and it wasn't in writing. It was sort of this handshake agreement they had that they would service debt to come back and address the tax aspect of it later, which is fine. But then that's like a Gulf Shores issue. And then there's a separate set of circumstances with the city of Orange Beach, who's not getting those same is getting treated the same way Gulf Shores is, even though they didn't have the capital improvement debt. What am I missing here? Like, and I'm a Baldwin County person, and if they take that tax away, like my public schools where I live will stand to suffer. But you just look at it. Shouldn't they be able to keep their own tax revenue in their districts? And so, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody out there. I need to text her what topics did Singleton and Smitherman and Blather on about. Is the Jeff Poor Show still living rent-free in the minority leader's head? The bill, I think it was a porn filter bill. I mean, they were filibustering the business community for some reason. Was against, but they, their commentary is never pertinent to the bill being discussed. And it's just kind of a running thing, and everybody's laughing and carrying on, and then they know what's going on, and they're trying to work it out behind the scenes. I'll tell you a secret about Singleton. Like, he thinks someone's putting me up to criticizing him. And that's not the case. It's just watching the Alabama State Senate and growing frustrated with the way business is conducted. Tim, Jeff, of the times I've done work on places when I found much mold, there's a water leak somewhere that may be coming from the roof. Well, I don't think they're going to try to fix it. I think the mold has been there for decades, and they're just going to tear the building down. And people have done their own test to find that there's some really nasty things behind the walls and the ceiling tiles inside that building. I can't imagine having to work there every day and have to put up with that, like, health condition. We make fun of the people who wear those masks. Look, there is a staff that has to make that building function all year round, even when they're not in session. And those guys are like the most susceptible to whatever is going on in there. On AJ Texas, Doge just filed $382 million in unemployment fraud. Is this what the protesters are mad about? Who is against fixing this stuff? I think the protesters are just sheep, to be honest. They are just, we are mad at Elon. We are mad at the big bad orange man. I still can't get past this. Like, I think about it. It takes a lot of effort to go out and protest and yell, show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like walking up and down the street. Who's that for? And you kind of watch it and you think, is this really going to change the country in a profound way? And I would say no. Well, then why are they doing it? And they got to know this, right? And the answer is, I don't know that they know it. But man, it just sure does feel good to make a mean sign about Trump supporters and call them Nazis and yell in the streets. It's like a thing for them. Josh, is that state senator representative Democrat that filibuster with the racist rap song still in office? I think it was female. Yeah, Wanda LaGavan. She's running for Birmingham, Mayor of Birmingham. She's still in office. She's sort of I tell you, she's grown on me, though. I think there's some merit to her efforts. she kind of fights the establishment, takes on the establishment. Sometimes not very artfully, sometimes a little. But you got to know her a little bit. And she really took a stand against the mayor of Birmingham, the way he was handling crime there and the police and the morale within the police department. And like I said, she does really dumb things. But to me, she's one of the lesser of the evils in the Alabama legislature, particularly the Democrat side. But we'll talk more about that later in the program. And one more text, we're going to the break here. Unspoken agreement. I highly doubt it's not discussed at length with lots of chuckling. Well, clearly there is an avenue for Elliot to pass a law here to fix this. So these spoken agreements, you know. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
But through it all, when there was doubt.
Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know, and offers coming over.
To the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. Mallory Pipey, text line 251-343-0106. Unspoken agreement. I think I meant handshake agreement, Dan, with the Gulf Shores like taxation situation. And I keep hearing that from the lawmakers who are like against Elliot. There's a lot of them. Let's explain to you what's going on here. We know about the tax, and the two municipalities who have their own school systems are levying a sales tax, and that sales tax is going to the Baldwin County Public Schools. But the children who live in the jurisdiction of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores don't go to Baldwin County Schools. They go to Orange Beach and Gulf Shores Schools, but their taxation is going elsewhere. And the municipality said, hey, we want that tax revenue to stay here. Seems like a valid thing to want. But the opponents would say, well, they made a deal, you know, back in the day that they would go form their own school system and they wouldn't do this. And, okay, you know, I think it was Representative Fidler who was on the show earlier this week. Or 2 weeks ago, I should say, said, well, Gulf Shores went and formed their own system, but then they immediately sued to get the tax revenue and incurred a legal cost for the Baldwin County Public Schools. Okay. So what do you say about that? Shouldn't they? I don't think that in itself is a justification to keep taxing people who don't go to your school system. Maybe you can work out those legal costs and make them whole at the Baldwin County Public Schools or whatever. But the other thing I said to her is, well, what about Orange Beach, who did not sue? Why are they being taxed? And it's just like, well, you know, that's a good question. So anyway, the bill comes up in committee 2 weeks ago or a week before last. The now infamous dust up between Greg Allbritton and Chris Elliott in committee, and they carry the bill over, but the committee members are like, you guys need to figure this out on your own. You guys in Baldwin County, don't bring in the entirety of the state. But it's like this though, guys. The Baldwin County delegation is on the side of the school board. So where their voters are, that's where they represent. And they just block the local bills. And this situation, which I don't think is particularly fair, doesn't ever get resolved under those political circumstances. So it's getting to the point where maybe they should just repeal the tax altogether. They took it to court. The Alabama Supreme Court said we can't really do anything about this. This will take an act of the legislature. If you read the opinion, the majority opinion, and that's where we're at right now.
Have a good time.
Let's get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hope the Indian may eat the girl so far away.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Moore Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Show it if a talk 106.5 begins right now. So it'll come about 30 minutes from now. April Marie Fogle from 1819 News, my colleague there. Stay tuned for that. Shark alert system making the national headline there. I know how you guys feel about it, but once Lulu Gribben was like up there the day before yesterday, it was like a no-brainer. All I can figure is what they're going to do is if someone is attacked by a shark, they will send out some kind of an alert. And you probably think, well, that's silly. That's crazy. And it's like a feel good measure. The guy who's pushing this from Mountain Brook, he'll probably get the, I think he'll at least get Senator Elliott, maybe some others on board. But I'm telling you, that's like one of the more powerful lobbies is to take the shark attack victim. And she makes the rounds, goes and sees the governor, goes and sees the pro tem, and they all get their picture made with her. And that seems like that's kind of the quote unquote Amber Alert for shark attacks thing is probably going to happen. It's hard to say no to that. I know you guys are like, well, it's just the price of living at the beach or going to the beach, but it's, hard to say, like I said, hard to say no. Amber, thanks for the text, Amber. Orange Beach resident here. I paid $792 tax last year. That said, schools tax, my home was estimated at $650K. Did that money go to Orange Beach schools or this tax they are arguing about? I think tax collected needs to stay here. It was collected, or at least a portion. So it's a sales tax. It's like a percentage of a sales tax, a penny, that goes to the county school system. And if you're anywhere in Baldwin County, from Little River all the way to Fort Morgan and to the Floribama, depending on which side of Floribama you're on, I think usually it's only like one of the bars that's actually in Alabama, the upstairs bar there. The rest of it's in Florida. You collect the you collect this tax, and it goes to Baldwin County Schools. Well, the two school systems that aren't in the Baldwin County school system that had their own school system are still paying that tax. So it's a different tax than probably what you're referring to, Amber. But the opponents for what taking that sales tax and keeping it at home will tell you, number one, a deal is a deal, and you made a deal. Number two, the courts have ruled on this. But in the decision, the court said, this is a job of the legislature, not of the courts. And they took that to mean, well, we get to keep the tax in perpetuity. Now, here's what I thought would happen. And I was wrong. I thought the school system would like say, okay, look, how about we share it somehow? That would make sense, right? You guys down at the beaches can have a part of this, but we still got some things we got to pay for. Maybe it's a residual thing that goes back to before the school systems broke away and formed their own. I don't know. The texter is a resident of Gulf Shores. We put up with tourists year-round, sick of everyone else benefiting from the tax dollars generated, i.e. the lodging tax. The rest of the state needs to find a new cash cow. Well, you got to let these people know in Baldwin County, like, your sentiments there. Now, look, Senator Albright doesn't represent the beaches. He gets pretty deep down into Baldwin County, but he is the primary opposition to this, and he's threatened to filibuster it. And I'm telling you something, if he filibusters it, the majority party or any party is reluctant to cloture their own member. It happens from time to time. But they're reluctant to do that. It's just that face value, you try to defend this, and I it's hard for me to understand. Like taxation without representation. Are people in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach going to get those tags like they have in D.C.? Because essentially the tax being levied, they don't get a vote on the school board in Baldwin County. They have their own school board. But I thought they would cut a deal and say, hey, okay, you can keep a part of it, but we still got to take some of it. The Senate Democrats should filibuster the stupid shark attack bill. I don't think, Jerry, it's going to happen. I think the shark attack victim showing up day before yesterday, she got her picture made with everybody. They're going to do something. Pelican, people blame the sharks, but you are in his house. Well, yeah, but they don't care. I don't think it's necessarily like a retaliation toward the shark. As much as it is, it's just a warning system. Hey, there was a shark attack down the beach. You might want to be careful. I mean, is that... I there could be a hysteria, though, if you start getting these Amber Alerts on your phone. Shark spotted in the water off of Alabama Point or whatever. Ricky is telling us the country's broke, in case you're wondering. 251-343-0106, that's the Mallory Piping text line. Hit us up there. Get this from the Lieutenant Governor's office. Well, Ainsworth announces his full 100% committed support for Bill allowing off-campus religious instruction. So, this was a bill that Susan DuBose she came on this show to talk about. The idea here is you could get some kind of elective credit for off-campus religious instruction, and whatever you think of that. School superintendents don't like it. There's sort of a liability question once you release a student out into the public away from campus. I went down in Education Policy Committee in the House, like a 3-9 vote. So I guess Ainsworth said, well, we're going to pick up the ball here and run with it, essentially. Lieutenant Governor. They're going to try to do it in the Senate, is my understanding, and then send it back to the House and see what happens. But time's kind of running short here. I'm going to tell you, guys, we're probably got another month of actual, like, legislative session time. But 2-day weeks, it'll go longer, but the time to do something, for them to get a vote, is running out. And I think that's true for this Big Creek Lake bill. Like, if you really want it to be law, those of you out in West Mobile who don't like the Mobile area water and sewer system telling you that you can't go out in Big Creek Lake, time is of the essence here. Jerry, she was in Florida when she got bitten by a shark. Well, it's fine. But she's a Mountain Brook resident. Jerry, I'm just going to tell you, you may be 100% right here and irritated by this, but folks just don't, they don't comprehend the enormity of the Gulf of Mexico, or the Gulf of America, I should say. They don't. They're going to pass this law. That's the stupidest bill ever. Why not make the bill for rip currents? Something that actually kills many people every year. I have a whole problem with the Amber Alert system. And here's the deal. They can send out a statewide Amber Alert. And remember the escaped inmate that ran off with the prison guard up in the shoals? So there's places in Mississippi and Tennessee that are much closer to where the actual inmate who escaped was, but they didn't get the Amber Alert. However, down here in Fairhope, Alabama, on my phone, I get the Amber Alert. It's not very well geographically targeted. And can they geographically target the beach? Or if you're sitting in Robertsdale watching Wheel of Fortune or whatever it is, minding your own business, are you going to get the shark attack or shark alert? How can they do this to where they micro-target it a little bit better than what they do with the Amber Alert system? Mike asks, how likely could there be a lawsuit over personal property mandates to purchase something with regards to the dumb shark bill? It's just another example of how the Alabama Republican Party is far from conservative. They're going to make people install a warning system on their own property. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not sure that's the case, Mike. I think it is. It's something that's administered through your cell phone. Here's how they do it. The government regulates the airwaves. Just like right now, I'm talking to you, and the signal goes out over the air through the tower. We still have to have a license through the FCC. And there's certain things, certain boxes Sean Sullivan has to check for the quote-unquote privilege of using the public's airwaves for the public good. Because there are airwaves, the way the federal government views it. And this is how they view your cell phone coverage. Your cell tower is using the public's airwaves. So an Amber Alert system is for the public good. You're going to get that ping to your phone whenever they utilize the Amber Alert system. So the same would apply to the shark warning system. There's a fascination with sharks. Guys, Shark Week is one of the most highly rated weeks on Animal Planet. And these stories, when they do them, that's why it made the national news on this program. And I think whenever this ball gets rolling, whether you guys, those of us, or I kind of have an understanding, those of you who really, really, really understand this, this isn't for you, I guess. There's enough people in the state who look at it. Hey, why not? Why not try to do this for the public good and use the public airwaves for some kind of shark alert system? That's the wisdom there. I'll be a faulty. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. He said, Ripper, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? But then laugh at you and up poor show on the Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. April Refogle coming up in the next segment. No problem with shark alerts, but what about DUI, DWI, repeat offender, sexual predator alerts? Seems a lot more opportunities for harm than shark attacks. Well, supposedly now when you have a DUI or repeat offender, sexual predator, those sorts of alerts, you apprehend the person. You don't apprehend and necessarily apprehend a shark that's out biting people's legs off. So that's sort of the wisdom there. Like, we can quibble with it. I'm going to tell you politically, it's hard to stop. It's hard to, I get it. It's maybe a little frivolous in some ways. It's just going to scare people off the beach. But when you get the shark alert, I think the idea is here, if there's a shark attack down the coast, they'll send out the alert, hey, you may want to be aware, but a shark just bit someone's finger off. Maybe keep an eye out for sharks is the idea. And you can agree or disagree with that, but that's what they're trying to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, seeing this victim up there, and like I said, she's making her way around the corridors of power in Montgomery. She's probably going, they're probably going to do it, even if the rest of the state, I mean, the member from Aniana is not going to fully comprehend the sharks. But it's just going to, guys, they're going to listen to your complaints and be like, yeah, so what? Backstretch Stecker, how many times are we going to send this alert about sharks? Sharks are everywhere. Is there a way to opt out of the shark spotter BS? Probably not. As I said, it's going to be deemed for the public good. Vince, what can we expect the shark, a price tag on the shark alert system? How much do you expect it to cost annually? Keep in mind, it will never stop going off ever. Well, I don't know what the criteria, we don't know, number one, what the criteria are. We don't. I mean, like, look, we're not sure what the criteria are going to be to trigger the alert. So I think you're getting a little ahead. And I don't know what the fiscal note will be on it. That'll be interesting, but listen to me. Whatever price tag they assign to it, it won't be right. These are just guesses. Sometimes they're lowballed. Sometimes they're highballed. Look at the prisons, guys. I was talking to a lobbyist yesterday about that. $630 million was the approved price tag, and that's going to be twice that. Yeah, overtime tax. Look at how much that, what, from $30 million to $300 million in 2 years. So they're not, I mean, I think they do about as good a job as we could expect at LSA. I come up with what the price tags are, but I don't know. I can't imagine, though, this will be a big budget line item. Daniel says he's going to block it. Look, you can't block an Amber Alert on your phone. You can't turn that off. The details are sketchy. Something will get passed. I'm not sure what it will be. It may be just a resolution to say, hey, we will take a look at instituting some kind of shark alert program. But just know it's probably going to happen. And they text her, I don't know what the big deal is. It's not like there are that many attacks most years. There are zero. Yeah, what I believe it's going to be is if there's an attack, you'll get a notification. Hey, there's a shark attack. That may not mean a whole lot. But it's like this victim, Blue Ribbon, was saying, and even though it happened in Florida, if she had known there was a shark attack down the beach, she would have stayed off the beach that day. So people want to know. They want information. And that's sort of the, as I say, wisdom. justification behind this effort. We'll be right back. SFM Talk 106.5.
The bills we made, old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son is all left up to you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, as always, brought to you by Mallory Piping, 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know what is on your mind. Joining us now on the line, she is my colleague at 1819 News, 1819news.com. April Marie Fogel joins us on the line. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well today. How are you?
I'm forgetting to call you, apparently, but made it just in time under the wire here. Let's kick it off here, and you've been on this beat for a while. How surprised were you to see there's still money in the education budget for the Magic City Acceptance Academy?
You know, I worried that was going to be the case because lawmakers were getting all antsy about, you know, who would show up and who would protest and what would happen. I think that this is just another example of lawmakers kicking the can down the road and hoping that the Charter School Commission revokes the charter. And it makes me angry, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Not surprised, but angry.
But you were told, like, hey, we're going to do something about this, right?
Absolutely. There were three lawmakers who have gone on the record talking about doing something about this. And you sent that link to me yesterday, and I was like, what is happening here? And I really do think there's a fear of the public pressure around, you know, defunding this school.
Well, so, and just to catch our listeners up, I talked about it in the last hour a little bit. The education budget made its way out of the Senate yesterday. It's going to the House for consideration. They'll go back and forth on this. They'll volley it back and forth. But still in the budget was like $400,000 for what is the... I guess, is it just for the city of Birmingham, or if I'm like an LGBTQ guy and wherever, can I attend this school if I so choose? But
it's about the region. And so they have kids coming. I say kids, they have students coming from, you know, surround Shelby County and Trustville and Leeds and all of the places, you know, and it's not even just LGBTQ. It's kids who are not suitable for a regular classroom, whether it be disciplinary or whatever, which is part of the reason the school has so many issues there themselves. It's these kids who just are not doing great in regular schools who are going to the school.
Yeah, so they call it the Magic City Acceptance Academy, and your tax dollars go to it. It's not like a big, big number out of a $10 million budget. It's, you know, just shy of a half a million, but... There was a lot of tough talk, and particularly, maybe not so much with the budget chairman. I know that they said they were looking at defunding it, but this divisive concepts bill we have that is constantly violated. Well, what's the recourse when you violate the law? Well, we'll take your funding away. And as it turns out, that's not even the case either, is it?
It's not. And it really, this school... It was based on the premise of otherness, right? Even those who were not LGBTQ, they were, quote, affirming. Now, what the school has done is they've gone and just, you know, deleted the language off their website and their socials. And I cannot believe for the life of me, lawmakers are buying that means this is out of the classroom and these kids are not being subjected to actual indoctrination.
I was stunned, but I think what's going on here, the fear is if you remove this from the budget, the Democrats will filibuster, it will complicate matters, which is probably true. But this seemed to be the gestures early on, and you know, Caleb's going through the budget, or Caleb Taylor, our Senate reporter yesterday, hey, this is still in there. And no one really had a good answer.
And I think that the biggest issue for me is the lawmakers have all of the proof they need. We have detailed this. 1819 has detailed this in a series of about 10 stories, how these classrooms, how this school has DEI, has gender ideology, has drag queens, has, you know, all of these things, you know, students in the classroom wearing animal ears and tails. And this is just not what one would expect from Alabama public charter school and the legislature to fund.
No, so another letdown by our friends in the Alabama legislature. And I think, you know, we're getting toward the end of the session and these guys are real skittish. They just want to go home. But I don't think that's a justification for leaving that on the table.
No, and I think that these members, they can't hide behind not knowing, right? Before, it was like the Kim James ad came out and people talked about it for a couple of months and then it went away. And we have done it, shined a light on what has been happening there and is happening even this academic school year. And it just bugs me to no end that they're going to get at least likely going to get at least another school year. And this punts to the Charter School Commission, which will be reevaluating the school's charter this year.
Is there any reason to think that that will result in the revocation of their charter?
I do. And I'm probably more optimistic about the Charter School Commission revoking the charter than I was the legislature to begin with, for a couple of reasons. Having gone through their report, and I detailed this in my last NCAA story, they have chronic absenteeism higher than almost double the state average. They've got financial problems that go beyond whether or not the state fund fully commits to funding them. They have high teacher turnover. So I think that the Charter School Commission has an out in that they can revoke the charter for administrative reasons and not necessarily for the curriculum, although it is clear that they have had problems with their curriculum as well.
Well, and I'm kind of shocked, Scott Dawson made it a gubernatorial campaign issue in 2018. Tim James, in both of his runs in 2010 and 2022. And I was, you know, now it's back on the radar. We're talking about it a little bit, but somehow, like, it is a sacred cow that I think people just willing to are willing to kind of turn a blind eye to. But like, and this is probably what would be helpful for our listeners, like some of these violations of what we would call divisive concepts. I mean, they're plentiful, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Earlier this year, we reported on a author doing a couple day workshop at the school, and that author's book essentially said, everything from the fight for independence from this country forward has been rooted in racism and sexism and all the isms and misogyny and, you know, and the false narrative. And it went after conservatives and it went after our founding fathers. And it talked about all of the things that divisive concepts bill was supposed to prevent them from talking about. And they have evidence that this is in the classroom. They have evidence that teachers are there who are there to push an agenda. A teacher who was from Homewood, who was Homewood Hoover, that was suspended, now teaching at Magic City Acceptance Academy. They know, and they're letting them get away with it. And it is because the left has done such a good job of saying all these kids are going to harm themselves if you close down this school, which is, it's basically emotional blackmail for the legislators.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, it's emotional blackmail, but it's also just, I was talking about this earlier, and if you're not aware of what the Alabama State Senate can be, like, they will just shut it down for whatever reason they see fit. And it's the reason I think that was let in was just to keep the line moving and getting their bills passed with just 11 legislative days remaining. So anyway, that is I was a little surprised, but here's the deal, April Marie, when you call these guys up and you ask them about the funding for this stuff, they act like, yeah, we're going to take a hard look at that. We're going to take that money out of there.
Well, and one of the last conversations I had on this with a lawmaker was that staff was looking at it. And part of me wondered what the staff recommendations said. They, you know, came back and said they couldn't or shouldn't do this. And I think it is more of an issue with the wheeling and dealing that happens on the budgets and wanting to get out on time.
Well, it's not over yet. This goes to the House, and we'll see what happens with Danny Garrett and if it stays in there or not. April Refogle joined us on the line here this morning. We'll move into the realm of national politics. How are you weathering the tariff Great Depression?
I do have to say, I had to turn off my alerts. I have a couple of alerts on different stocks that I've got, you know, a little bit up here and there. And I had to turn off those alerts because they're just, I was getting alerts and I was like, I don't want to see that. Make it stop. I do believe that we as a country have gotten, and I said this on Sean's show earlier this week, we are an instant gratification nation. And so knowing you have to buckle down and let Trump play through some of these discussions and negotiations, I am willing to let him see this through. I kind of side-eye those who are like, nope, that, you know, that couple of days, let's reverse all of this. Because that's not what you voted for. You voted for the tough decisions.
It's funny to hear the free trade marketeers they're trying to seize upon this. And I think the Jones Industrial average is now 1,300 points. It's a small thing, but it seems like to me that there's some profit taking, some other things going on here. I think it's just, the mainstream media are capitalizing on I don't say misunderstanding, maybe an ill-informed or uneducated public on markets.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing right now is all the same people who are policy experts on every other area and are loud. We have gotten used to listening to influencers and not economists, and we should listen to both sides of the economists on this and hear out what is they're trying to do, what Trump's team is trying to do, and give them the time to actually do it.
Well, it remains to be seen if that will work. How long do you think they have on this to before it's like, hey, maybe we go a different direction here?
Well, didn't he start walking it back yesterday? Didn't he say we're going to pause for some countries and we're going to negotiate a little bit?
And it was sort of treated like what a master chess move. I guess it could be that. I'm like open to that possibility, but I'm cautiously optimistic that this will work. And I think these people who are like maybe celebrating a little too early, you want his policies to work, but just know. It's still kind of in the, this hasn't been tried in a global economy. Yeah. You know, ever.
I think that some of these were, you know, pretty big hikes came as a surprise, right? Like we knew Trump wanted to bring jobs back. We knew Trump wanted to play hardball with other nations and fix some of these bad deals we had. I was still surprised at the overreaching way, you know, the way this was handled. And it did I'm speechless over here, but I think we really do need to give it time. And that's where I am on this.
Yeah. I wonder how the American public is going to be patient with it. And it's not, you know, like the media do this, and this is where the media's problem is. Obviously, they want Trump to fail. They would rather see China or Canada or whoever succeed. But I think the public's different. Like, right, if the media and the sort of mouthpieces in our media mattered, Trump wouldn't have won the 2024 election.
Right. And you look at what has happened media-wise, talking to the media, they have gone after Trump. They obviously didn't want him back, and they've continued to go after him for his appointments, for his immigration policies, for everything. The 24/7 news coverage around this, the doomsday or media coverage, and it's coming from the left and the right, I think is hurting the success of this, because it makes people who have been supporting, and I've seen people who have been supporting Trump night and day starting to turn on him in the last couple of days. And that, I think, might have an impact.
Yeah, if he starts bleeding support from the base, but you got to look at the Trump base versus what the Trump base was, say, 16, 17, 18, during his presidency. I think he's expanded his base. I really do. But he's kind of playing with house money. Now, look, he doesn't have to worry about reelection. But are we to the point, at some point, he's got to concede something or the midterms are in jeopardy?
Well, and I think that's important. I think you have to look at how close we get to the members of Congress being out there on the campaign trail, those House members, and having to defend what the stock market is doing and what Trump is doing. I think that it's very easy for Trump, for them to defend what's going on in the education system, what's going on with immigration, what's going on with, the consolidation of agencies. This is tougher to defend. And so if I'm a Democrat right now, I almost don't want this to get better. And that's what watching this, you almost have to think people are cheering against Trump, cheering against what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. April Marie, we got to get here up against the break, but we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right, April Marie Fogle. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Probably never made a single person cold, but I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. A bunch of texts to get to here. Jeff, very interesting, but if the other beach communities along the Gulf Coast toward Florida, like Perdido Key and other places, don't have a shark alert, then the average uninformed tourist from somewhere other than the coast is going to think it's safer to go down there on vacation. It's just stupid. Perhaps, but... And then look, the people in Florida probably know how to handle this a lot better. And these are valid questions. I don't think they're going to use it as much as you guys probably expect them to. I think they'll use it very sparingly. Listen, if there's a shark attack within the confines of Alabama. The only question I would have is, they would have to do some kind of geo-targeting, and I don't know that they've got that technology mastered yet, because I think they do an awful, awful job with the Amber Alerts in Alabama. So, my guess, if they can, if you're on a cell tower that's contiguous to the coastline, which could very well be anywhere in Mobile Bay, then I don't know. But it would have to be something along those lines. You can turn off Amber Alerts and settings under notifications under government alerts. Okay, well, it's good to know. But that's what happens. The iTexter, you can most certainly turn off Amber Alerts on any phone. Because I said something stupid that was incorrect. I got a dozen texts on that. Daniel, MM legislators are overwhelmingly stupid. It's time for new blood. Well, we say that all the time, but the same people keep getting elected, Daniel. It doesn't listen to me, Daniel. And I'm not picking on you, but to be honest, it's not even that. It is the people, you can elect new people, but there's sort of a power structure that's in place that in some ways takes advantage of the new members. So I can tell you right now, like some of these members who I don't get it. Like if you put time, effort, and money into running for office and you get a state house or state senate seat, when you get there, mostly at the state level, house level, you show up to work that day and they give you a piece of paper and it just tells you how you're going to vote on all your bills. And if you don't, there'll be repercussions. And that's a system that's got to be broken. It's not necessarily the new blood. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
It's good to see you. I must go. I know I look a fright. Anyway, my eyes are not a
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. So it'll come Paul DeMarco, our guest, in about 30 minutes from now. The House just passed the budget reconciliation from the Senate. So I guess it goes to Trump's desk now, and that's a big win for Trump. He's going to get a lot of his priorities. While everybody's watching the tariff situation, the Trump administration got a significant W just now. There was some question as to whether he didn't have enough votes in the House, but it looks like that they did, and they will check a box. Now it's being overshadowed by these stress-inducing market drops. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 1,700 points. But I get it. Like, I think, you know, the president's doing what he's trying to do, and we should be patient, but I'm not the public. I'm not the court of public opinion. I just have a radio show. And the instant gratification society, we can condemn it, talk about it any way we want, but it's a reality and you got to deal with it. I my critique about the Trump administration and these tariffs is they need to do and I think they're trying. I think they got all the right people out there talking about it, doing all the news channels everywhere that they can. But I still think that they could do a little bit better, personally. I don't know what the answer is. My guess is if you are really that concerned about the market fluctuations and you are watching your investments, then these spokesmen for the Trump administration, you're hearing from them. But how many people is that? It's just, what's the Venn diagram of people who are watching the news and people who are watching at least conservative or financial media that are giving Trump administration officials a platform? And where those two circles meet, is that enough of the public? Does that reach enough to the public in a satisfactory way to assuage a lot of these fears? I don't know. Daniel Jett, that system you described sounds a lot like the Democratic Party. And just saying, I love your show, always get sucked in. Listen, I've been telling you it's going to pass. I think that you're going to get a shark detection system in some capacity put into place in at the beaches. It's just one of these things you have to live with, guys. Anderson, not all but most Americans live in the real world, not politicians, not activists, not influencers, and certainly not grifters, and definitely not the news media. Well, I get that, but you got to look at the news media this way. And I'm telling you, as an editor of a website, you guys think that the news media, guys like me, are just chasing clicks. That's all we need to hear about is our numbers. It's not that at all. It's not a quantitative audience necessarily in this business, at least in political media that you're trying to reach. It's a qualitative audience. It's the people who make these big, big decisions that impact public policy. And some, like our friend Todd Stacey, he's seeded the quantitative element completely. And his publication, Alabama Daily News, because I call it the political website for grownups. I mean, his site is specifically geared for that qualitative audience, lawmakers, bureaucrats, Ivy officials. I mean, that's who he writes for. That's who his reporters write for. They're not writing for even the listeners of this show, which I find, you know, all of you to be engaged and really aware of what's going on. But that's sort of the deal here. When we talk about the media, that list you gave me there, activists, influencers, etc. They don't move the needle with you necessarily, but they do move the needle with that lawmaker from Anniston or wherever. And that, because they moved the needle with him, even though Aniston's 300 miles away or whatever, it moves the needle with you because the guy's voting for something that's going to impact your life in coastal Alabama. Sort of how the media work. I mean, and that's just Alabama. But you look at the big picture, you look at like national media, like how many of you ever read Politico or The Hill, Roll Call, these very Washington-centric publications? I mean, so a lot of times they're targeting a very specific audience. Now, look, if they can get the clicks and the quantitative, that's fine. But a lot of times the intended audience is more of a qualitative audience, and it is the activists and influencers. Because if MSNBC, which has a small audience, gets one person motivated enough to go out and protest out in the streets, I mean, they've done their job. So, and I don't know how much that moves the needle, and I'm befuddled by the 2025 protest resistance because I don't think people pay attention to it. But in some ways, it could matter, and that's why we talk about it on this show. And a texter asks, will 1819 News be covering the FBI news conference today about the Venezuelan gang members arrested in Mobile yesterday? Yeah, Erica Thomas, you hear her on the airways on a regular basis. She will be in attendance. So the answer is yes, an affirmative yes. Tyler, I think you need negotiation and business behind closed doors, and each side needs to be treated like an adversary until the end. That's the same way Trump is doing it. No one will know anything until it's over with. Daniel, I will sell the state a shark proof debt. Well, good luck. My name Texter. Hey, Jeff. Still tough for Gulf Shores to grab Trump Regional or Mobile to get Trump International? A lot of people would want to be on the first flight. I think Gulf Shores is, I don't think Robert Kraft is going to be the guy for that. Your friend Todd Stacey, the governor's hey boy, that from Jerry. Look, you're right in some ways that he is a mouthpiece, a functionary of the governor's office. I think even he would acknowledge that. But what I find, the reason I have him on is, don't you want to know what the governor's viewpoint is, even if you disagree with it, Jerry? Gene, what happened to the groceries issue? The grocery tax, or what are you referring to, Gene? Michael, did they at least put up shark sirens up by the Yankees in Birmingham, let it sound off constantly, and they'll either get tired of it and kill the program, or be so scared they'll never come down? Either way, it'll be a win. Well, you want them to come down, spend their money. I think that's the problem with a lot of this, Mike, is there's a fear from the locals that it will scare people away. And so one of the texters earlier said, well, then they'll just go to another beach down in Florida where they don't have a shark detection system. I mean, they got to be real careful here. I'm not denying that. What I'm trying to tell you, though, is kind of seeing the change in tone about this in Montgomery. Ben, working Point Clear, repeatedly ping off a code into Theodore sales tower. So good luck with the shark alert system. Well, I don't know what to say. They're going to do it. I don't know how they can geo-target. I think that's a big hurdle, Ben. How they are able to overcome that is anybody's guess. Two five one three four three zero one zero six. Maui Piping text line. If you want to communicate with the program, all you got to do is text me. And as always, I'll do my best to get to the entirety of your text messages. We already told you about this. Space Command is coming back to, or I guess it is coming back to Alabama. Also yesterday, kind of a weird story. Listen, there were some males targeting some state lawmakers, pornographic mail. And what they're apparently upset about is this age verification system. I'm not sure how that works either. If you look at a porn site, you got to prove you're of age. What is the of age anyway? But that's a bill being considered, and the sponsors of that bill, David Faulkner, Susan DeBose, and Ben Robbins, all Republicans, got these pornographic images sent to them. And they had a person of interest in custody. This seems like just, they get all kinds of weird mail in the legislature. I get all kinds of weird mail, and I'm just a dumb guy with a microphone. So people do crazy things, but apparently our law enforcement is very interested in this person. And then we're watching sort of market fluctuations. Each development of the terror saga is causing either a big upturn or downturn swing in the equities markets. And like I said, I know we got to be patient, but how much will the American public endure regarding that? Mike, don't want them to come down if they're going to impose stupid mandates on us. Well, that's where all the voters are. You live in Alabama, you're going to have those mandates imposed upon you. David, I was attacked by a pool shark. Would a notification be sent out on the shark attack alert system? Just like a lone shark alert system. I think they should include a pinfish alert system. When a pinfish tries to bite the hair on your leg, they could warn people about that too. They also should have a crab bite alert system. But the crab bites you, they can alert the fiddler crab on the beach or your child. Does they need a fiddler bite alarm? Thanks, Jeff. Tongue in cheek. Yeah, I get it. Listen, I had Faulkner on to talk about this, and he was like, look, I think we could do better. Which I can't argue with that. Can they do better? Is the question. But wanting to do better, there's value in that, right? Once again, text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
They set me up in the chair.
Your school ways are a pair of years. We got Rebel Flags flying and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow in the middle of June. On a hot and muggy afternoon. Line by line.
Welcome back. This is Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday. Coming up on the program tomorrow, a little programming note for you here. Todd Stacey. The aforementioned Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal. Former State Senator Phil Williams of Right Side Radio and our returning champion who will probably have a lot to say, State Senator Chris Elliott. Got to visit with him a little bit yesterday. A new texture, how about we call the Shark Alert System the Amityville Overreach? Keith, what about a Land Shark Warning System? Matt. Hey, Jeff, I have more support for a cougar detection system. Every time I go out wearing that Aquavelva, old school Aquavelva, that is, the cougars come out of their habitat and attack me. Well, I guess it's better to be at the ready for that. And then finally, Big Enos got to the show late, so I apologize. I heard something about a shark detection system being kicked around Gulf Shores. Having grown up in Gulf Shores. Still, it's still here, actually. Let me save everyone a bunch of money. Go down to the beach, stick your hand in the water. Is it wet? Yes, sir. Shark tear? Yes, it's simple. No money needed, just common sense. Some dumb transplant come up with the buffoonery of an idea. But he's got property down here, the sponsor. And it's his constituent from Mountain Brook, that is, that was attacked by a shark, got a lot of national notoriety. And this thing looks like you're going to get it whether you like it or not. Josh, Land Sharks? I think that would be a Chevy Chase sighting. I think he played the Land Shark on SNL. Yeah, guys, if you weren't listening earlier, the Alabama legislature has a bill they're considering for some kind of shark alert system, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm going to tell you after the advocacy groups that have made their way around the Capitol were done, it sounded like this thing is going to happen. If you don't want it to happen, what I would say is call your lawmaker and say it's stupid. But I think Representative Faulkner, he may not completely get it, but it's... He's well-meaning. People probably don't understand the risk of sharks. They never have, and they think that there's something we can do about it. We tend to think of that in government. This is what I always get at. And sometimes even the most well-intentioned Republicans fall victim of it, but we think of government as some kind of deity that can stop bad things from happening or try to prevent them. And it's not always true. Mike, well, they're going to also warn us about sharks. Can they do something about all the whales laying around the beaches? I think that was a jab. They text her, I have disabled Amber Alerts as well as weather alerts. I would think certainly we are could disable a shark alert just with the fault. I guess you could disable all the government alerts. That's what I would tell you. You don't want the shark alerts, then take the however long it takes to figure out your phone, which I've never bothered to do, and turn off the government alerts. And there you have it. Problem solved. The listeners of FM Talk 106.5 had the solution for the anti-shark alert detection system. You don't want the alerts, just shut them off on your phone. Jerry asked, where is his property at the beach? At Orange Beach, I believe. Everybody's got a condo down at the beaches, right? I don't know. Next time I talk to Representative Faulkner about this, well, I'll tell you what, I'll try to get him on. He may ask some, can explain the specifics better. I'll make a point to do that either tomorrow or Monday. And y'all are going to light him up, but, all I can tell you is it looks to me like it's happening. Mike asked, will folks up to Delta have to have alerts at their camps?
I don't know.
We'll find out. We'll pursue this. We'll be right back. 106.5.
Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.